back. Change that. Hallelujah.
Here I am, Lord.
Yes, I am.
You know who I am. Here I am, Lord. You know what you've already brought me through. Here I am, Lord. I just want to praise you and lift your name and let the world know that my God is God. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. My Lord. I'd like for you to turn your attention again, if you would, to a portion of the fourth chapter of Ephesians. I'm going to read just the 24th through 27th and the 31st and 32nd verses. Actually, beginning with the 23rd, and it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness through holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And the 31st and 32nd says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." My Lord, my Lord. I want to speak with you a little while this morning. Satan desires to destroy relationships. Satan desires to destroy relationships. There you go, Reverend Stinger. You've been talking about relationships ever since the anniversary. Well, that's what God has put on my heart to talk about. But today, we're going to be looking at it from a different direction. And it's not anything that any of you wouldn't have already known and heard. But I think all of us realize that Satan has a desire. I believe his number one task, if you were to ask him, now this is just my thinking, his number one task is to destroy relationships. Mm-hmm. Destroy relationships. Destroy our relationship with the God of the universe who loved us so much that he sent Jesus in the world so that we'd be able to have that blood to wash us and make us clean and to make us worthy of being able to be in touch with God. That relationship is an important, most important relationship we have. Is our relationship with the God of the universe. We couldn't have had it without the blood of Jesus, because God would not look upon the sin which is who we are. Relationships with God, but relationships also, relationships with those who are around us. You know, we call this a household of faith. It's a household of love. I believe it's a household of relationships as well. Our families, when we look around and see who God has blessed us. Well, let me just say this. I just can't help but believe that a beautiful life is a life that has beautiful relationships. Relationships. A beautiful life. Think about it. If your life is beautiful, the first thing you're going to think about is some folks who God has put in your life to make it beautiful. That friend, perhaps, that good friend that you can trust. Know they'll be there for you no matter what the situation is. That relationship is a beautiful relationship. The children, sometimes they act up and don't do all the things you ask them to do and go in the direction, but somehow that relationship, something special about the relationship, special about the relationship that we have with our children, with our wives, and our wives and husbands have to look and say, God has blessed me. God has blessed me with a beautiful wife, and God has blessed you, and most of you have, if you just stop just a little while, you don't have to think about all your friends, but you can't help but say, God has blessed me with some special relationship. Well, Satan doesn't want that to be the case. Satan wants to break up relationships. He wants to break up relationships in the church. I don't want to sit on that pew. I won't even go there. But no matter where you are, no matter who you have good relationships with, Satan's desire is to destroy, dismantle, compromise those relationships. You know, the first time we see Satan mentioned in the scripture, he's breaking up relationships. Mm-hmm. Just think about this. God is, we talked before about how much God loved man. He created him so much different than all the other things. I mean, he didn't speak us into existence. He actually reached down, and I'm going to actually quote from a writer who said it in a different way, James Weldon Johnson, who we all know and love. He said he knelt down by the bed of a river and he scooped up some clay. Now, this word didn't, but he's just saying, he's showing how much God, and he breathed into the, he made it into his own image. Talking about how he created something special about the creation of man. He breathed into it the breath of life, and we became a living soul. That's James Weldon Johnson. But if you read the scripture, it very closely says that as well. We were made out of the dust. God made us out of the dust and molded us into his own image because he loved us so much and placed us in a garden just eastward of Eden. Beautiful garden. All we had to do was just enjoy life. And well, there was one commandment. He didn't have 10 yet. There was only one. Just don't go over and eat from that tree. Beautiful trees all around. Beautiful plants all around. The animals now have been created. And all this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. Because God loved us and wanted that relationship with us. But here comes Satan. Okay, relationship here. God has created man. And then he created woman, actually from a rib from the man. And it was a special relationship. The man said, she was made from a part of me, flesh of my flesh. Beautiful relationship. What a special, beautiful marriage, beautiful relationship. But then came Satan. And Satan spoke with the woman. And he made her to feel, and with the way he takes a little truth and mixes with a little bit of lie, it all turns out to sound like the truth. You thought he made it sound as if it would be really okay, and there wasn't really the penalty that they had heard about. And she went on and ate of the fruit. We know that. We all know the story. As a matter of fact, I'm going to throw this at this. I'll just mention this. A lot of people feel that no man, this is a very important point, a very important part of creation. We were created, as I just said. And we weren't, it's not from evolution, from the animals. You said, well, okay, a lot of things about us are similar to the animals, and maybe we're just a stage up from them. We just continue to. But if that were the case, then we wouldn't have this, in what I'm about to talk to now, this sin that happened there in the garden. If all this was going to happen in the garden, we can't be from the animals. Oh, let me just say this. There was a lady and her little boy had just come back from Sunday school, and he was confused. He says, "Mom, where did we come from?" And she told him about the way God loves so much and how he created us. And we were a special, special creation from God. That's where we started. God created us from the dust. And he said, "Okay, Mom." And he came back to his mom about an hour later, maybe 2 hours later, and said, I had a talk with Dad, and I'm confused now, Mom. You see, Dad said that we came from the monkeys and the apes. His mom said, "Son, well, we're both right. They're both right. You know the story." The mom said to her, "said son, we're both right. Your dad's telling the truth, and I'm telling the truth." He was telling you about his side of the family. But so imagine this now. Satan realizes that what he's doing is going to cause a rift between Adam and Eve, as a matter of fact, and between them and God. When God came and talked to them, came in the cool of the evening, he had a relationship where he'd come by and he'd talk with them and they communicate. And on this particular day, they were hiding because of what they had done. That relationship that they had was gone. And somehow, as we look and find out when God spoke with them, Adam said, well, that woman you gave me. Somehow the relationship between Adam and Eve had been fractured as well. Satan knew exactly what he was doing. And if we look, we'll find that Satan's great desire is to do that in our homes, to blame each other for things and try to find ways of getting us to break away from that beautiful relationship we have with God. We look at the book of Job, and we find that Job was a righteous man who God looked upon and recognized as somebody special. He served him as he ought to serve him. He lived as he ought to live. He prayed for his children. He didn't know if his children were doing anything wrong, but he prayed for them every night, just in case. I want to talk to the Lord and ask God to forgive them if they have gone off in the wrong direction. Somebody really special. But somehow Satan wanted to destroy that relationship that God had with Job. And somehow God gave him the opportunity to go and do some things to Job. He could only go so far, but to do some things to Job. And after he had done those things, all the things that he did, and we know the list, it was a terrible situation that Job found himself in. But when all that was done, Job continued to praise the Lord. God allowed him to go a little bit further. And as he allowed him to go a little bit further, his wife came to him and said, you ought to curse God and die. In other words, totally destroy that relationship. But Satan was really working on it. And I'm not saying that his wife was an agent of the devil. Everybody that does something that hurts your feeling or causes you to be feeling as if maybe God doesn't love me or my wife doesn't love me, don't think that they're necessarily agents of the devil. They don't know what they're doing in many cases. They don't realize what kind of situation they may be creating. But the Satan who put it on their heart and put it into the words that they spoke knew exactly what he was doing. Satan was sure that he was going to be able to destroy that relationship that Job had with God. But he wasn't able to. He wasn't able to. Because God made a way for him to realize. He looked back on what God had already done for him. He said, naked, I came into the world. I didn't have anything. Everything I have, God gave me. I have a God who loves me. I have a God who loves me. Somehow Satan puts into our mind things that will cause us to maybe start separating ourselves from God. We've been waiting on him. We've been praying, and he hadn't changed things. I don't believe the Lord really loves me. I don't believe I have that relationship that I thought I had with the Lord. If I did, why would I have to be waiting and going through all of this for so long? No. God knows who you are, and he won't allow it to be more than you're able to bear, the things that you're going through. And though I'm going through something, I don't know when I'm going to come out. I don't know how long the storm is going to last, but I know one thing, God is able. And I know if I hold on to him that he's not only able, but he's loving enough to bring me through and to bring me out. You can go ahead, Satan, and try to confuse me, try to make me think that God doesn't love me anymore, to think that all my praise and worship, none of those are meaningful, and that I really haven't been totally cleansed by the blood of the Lord. No, I'm on the Lord's side, and I have an opportunity to spend eternity over in glory, and I have a relationship now that I want to continue to grow stronger and stronger as I go through situation after situation. Somehow it seems as we look around, Satan will try all kinds of things and use all kinds of things to try to separate us from God. He also tries to separate us, as I've said earlier, from those who are important to us in our lives. Somehow we find that it doesn't take much, a little rumor, a little lie, can cause a marriage to be totally dissolved. I tried to explain that really didn't happen, but somehow it doesn't seem to carry enough weight because that person who started it or the person who said it somehow had some credibility. And somehow the things that were said caused us to be separated. Somehow there may be things where there really are problems. And when there really are, the scriptures tell we need to be able to forgive. Because it's much better for us to have that relationship with that person who we've loved and that person who we do love than to believe that situation and to not allow ourselves to be pulled out of that by the love. The love is stronger than the rumor. The love is stronger than whatever it is that I'm concerned about. The scriptures tell us we need to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. And don't let Satan get into the middle of it. What the scripture is telling us here says you can be angry. Angry is okay. Angry is normal. Angry is something we're going to be every now and then. I'm not going to say I never get angry. That would be a lie. There have been times when I've gotten angry about something, but then I know that I can't change it. And what I'm angry about, it's already happened. Should I allow that to cause my relationship with somebody to always be gone, to be totally dissolved? No. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give Satan that space. Scripture says, be angry, but sin not. Be angry, because somehow if you allow yourself to be angry today and you don't get things worked out soon, that anger is going to grow. Satan has some room now. Satan's going to tell you, yeah, you thought they loved you. They never loved you in the first place. Yeah, you thought that they were on your side. No, they were never really on your side. Satan's going to use that space. Be angry, but don't allow it don't allow the sun to go down on your wrath, Paul says. Don't allow yourself to just allow the pain of that, of whatever that was, if it is pain to that point, to cause that relationship to go away. God wants us to have a relationship with him, a beautiful relationship. And God wants us to have a relationship with one another as well. If you look at the scriptures, what we looked at all during the year, the gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, if you look at those gifts, you'll find that those gifts are gifts that will help you to have good relationships with others. All of the gifts of the Spirit, they're to help us to be more spiritual, more like Jesus, more forgiving, more loving. All of those gifts cause us to have that relationship that God wants us to have with one another. God desires that we have a beautiful relationship with him. And God wants us to be loving, kind, understanding, forgiving, so that we can love one another as well. Love God and love your neighbor. Love God. Love those who are in the household of faith. Love God. Love those who have accepted the same God that you have accepted. Love God and love all of those who God loves. Jesus said a new commandment. So I said, wait, I've heard that commandment before, that you love. That's not a new commandment, is it, Jesus? Jesus went a little further. As I have loved you, love one another. In other words, love beyond just loving your neighbor. Love beyond just loving your neighbor as yourself. He wanted us to go to another level. He wants us to be forgiving, loving as he is. Because he wants us to have beautiful relationships. The Holy Spirit gifts us with things that we need in order to have good relationships. The Spirit of Satan gifts us, if you will, with things that would tear us apart. Jealousy, anger, all of those things that would cause a relationship to go away, to dissolve, to no longer exist. Satan's going to present those. Somebody right here, right now, has a relationship that right now seems to be a little bit out of sync. Because somehow Satan has introduced something into that relationship that makes you wonder how real it is. Satan has caused something to happen to make you say, well, I don't have to be around them. I don't need them, and they don't need me. Why should I go? It's done. Satan would have us then I go that way. But to rather look at that relationship and realize how beautiful it is to continue in the relationship that God has provided for us in our lives. Something so beautiful. Let me just mention this. Maybe it's put more out than needs to be seen or heard, but I have a relative who somehow some things that she did created a problem and caused some split in the portions of the family. And just on yesterday, she was at our house. And it felt so good to give her a hug and to say and let her know that the problem, I wish it hadn't happened, and what you did really did hurt, but somehow that hurt can't compare with the hurt I feel by us not being one. Something special about the relationship. Something special about the relationship. Somehow it just felt good to know that that was behind us. And that now that relationship that God had given us a long time ago can be rekindled, and somehow it can be just special. It's okay to be angry. Everybody gets angry. Jesus was angry. Turned over the money changers' tables. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't sin. Well, the way you keep from sinning is don't let that anger persist. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We need to love everybody. If we were to go around and look at all the folks in the church, I'm sure if I were to make a priority list, I'll do it this way because it's a positive way to do it, I guess. Somebody in this church would be at the very top of your priority list among those who are in this household of faith. But just as real as that slot at the top is, there's a slot down at the bottom. There's somebody here in this household of faith that you would rather avoid. If that's the case, that's somebody who you should be getting closer to. Satan has put them at the bottom of your priority list. Satan has put them in a position where you feel, well, I don't really care if I never do get back with them again. I don't want to hear the things they say or watch the way they act. I don't want to get in touch with them. That's the one, when you start working on this, on your relationships, that's the one to work on. That's the one to try the hardest with. That one who somehow is falling off the bottom of your list. That's somebody who God would have you to be in touch with and to show your love. When wrote this, he knew we were going to get angry. He knew we were going to have problems. He knew that Satan would have us to go back to who we used to be and the way we would handle situations. But he said, you're not that way anymore. We now who have accepted Christ aren't that way anymore. We need to look at each other with love, and we need to be willing to go and hug the person who somehow we felt we didn't even want to talk to anymore. Don't let the sun, maybe the sun's already gone down several times. It didn't just happen yesterday, but yet you're still alive, and you have the opportunity even right now, to tear down that barrier and to reach out with love. Because God wants us to be a household of faith, trusting in him. A household of love, loving one another. A household of relationships where if something's going wrong in my life, I know I can reach out to somebody here. Maybe I'd like to say anybody here. And somehow I feel they'd step up and help me through what I'm going through. Because we're a household. We're love. Jesus is love. Let Satan separate you. Don't let Satan create a situation that you don't resolve as quickly as possible so that you'll be able to have that relationship. God wants us to love him. And God wants us to love all of us who are here in this household of faith. He wants us to go farther. He wants us to love everybody. Let's start with the household. Let's make sure that we who are here show love one to another. I pray for you, and you pray for me. Can you sing that? Because we're all a part of God's family. Don't let Satan separate us one from another. And I tell you, let's do something a little different. While she's singing that, I want everybody to sing. But if you can, I'd like you to get on your feet. And don't stay where you are. Let's walk around and just hug somebody. Now, I'm not saying start off by hugging that person's at the bottom of your list because they'll know right off. Go sort of sneak up to that one. Doesn't that hug feel good? Doesn't that hug feel good? Mm-hmm. Go hug him. Somebody needs a hug. Don't let Satan separate you from somebody you ought to be loving. Don't let Satan destroy a relationship that God would have you to have with somebody here in this household of faith.
If you know the words, sing along. I need you, you need me, we're all a part.
Take your time, take your time.
God's body.
Take your time, it's important.
Stand with
take time.
Me.
Take your time.
Agree with me.
No quick hugs,
we're
go ahead and have a real hug. I'm talking about real hug.
Of God's body, it is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Can we sing that again? I need you, you need me, we're all
Satan wouldn't have us to hug one another.
God's body, stand with me.
Satan wouldn't have us to love one another.
Agree with me. We're
Satan wouldn't have us to care about each other's situation.
God's body, it is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
My Lord. My Lord, I pray for you.
You are
because you're important,
important to me. I need you to survive.
Your
and
relationships
then we pray.
Are important.
We pray
to God.
For each other.
My Lord.
I pray for you.
Yes.
You pray
yes.
for me.
Yes.
I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you.
No, no.
With words
no.
from my mouth.
No.
I love you. I need you to survive. I pray for you.
Go on, take
you
it up.
You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. I pray for you.
Yes.
You pray
yes.
for me.
Yes.
I love you.
I need you to survive.
You to survive.
I need you to come
I
through
won't
what you're going through. I need you to be blessed by the Lord. My Lord.
I love you. I need you to. It is His will. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
You don't need to go back to your seats. You don't need to go back to your seats just yet. Come on down, Brother Kenny, and I'm going to ask everybody right where you are, because I know you've got a lot of folks around you, reach out and touch some hands. Don't squeeze them too hard, but squeeze them hard enough to know that you love them and that you're praying for them. Squeeze them hard enough to know that you care about them. You recognize that God has blessed you, and you want to bless them with your prayer to God for them. God loves us all. He loves us so much. And he wants us to share that love one with another. He wants you to love that person whose hand you're holding. Let there be no doubt. Let there be no doubt that the things that they're going through, that you want to pray that they come through in a mighty way. That you're going to pray that what they're going through now will end up being something they look back on and realize they have a testimony. Because God has brought them through. God has brought them out. My Lord. God knows what you're going through. But that person who's next to you is going to pray for you and talk to God about your situation. They don't have to know exactly what it is. All they know is they're putting their situation and your situation into God's hands. And we're all doing that because we all care about one another. Satan may have tried, but he can't destroy the relationships that we're building, even right now.